We start this new series called Building and Burning, which is called The Bridge. And here's my description. It says, every bridge is designed to span a chasm between here and there. They are designed to connect people from one area to people of another, built to withstand pressure and constructed to endure force. Bridges give us passage to otherwise unreachable destinations. Bridges don't just connect us physically, they connect us emotionally and relationally as well. And when it all comes down to experiencing that kind of life in God has in store for us, the truth is that some bridges need to be built and some bridges need to be burned. Now, when I say that, it seems, are you talking about burning relationships? Most of the time, I'm talking about burning things within relationships, just getting some rid of some things. Here's a couple of quotes. Isaac Newton said this, we build too many walls and not enough bridges. Another quote I heard is, you don't have to worry about burning bridges, this is great, if you are building bridges. You don't have to worry so much about burning bridges if you're the one building bridges. And today, on Mother's Day, I just want to talk about the first thing about building a bridge, which is it's just building that support system. For instance, if you can put that picture of the bridge in Stillwater, many of you guys have seen this bridge in Stillwater, right? This is the new Highway 36 bridge. I want to show you something. We used to have a girl that came to our church, and she worked for WinDOT, Wisconsin Department of Transportation, and she was an engineer for this bridge, and she was with us for a year and a half, and she described to us how she designed this bridge. I want to show you something. See, right down here, these little pillars right down here. See these right here? Not these. They brought these in, but these right here, how they put those in is pretty crazy because they actually, what they did is they took giant cylinders and shoved them into the, you know, through the water, into the base of the water, really far into the ground. And I just said, how do you put concrete in that? She says, well, honestly, concrete weighs more than water, so we put the concrete in the bottom and we pushed it up. And I said, ingenious. So they literally put they pumped the concrete through tubes underneath the big giant tube, and they started pumping up the concrete through the cylinders, and the water came out the top. Isn't that awesome? And then she tells me, just so you know, you might not want to tell people, that concrete in the middle never really cures because it's so much concrete. Oh, I said, that's great to know, right? But honestly, she goes, it's such a strong foundation. When you have that concrete, it's not going to ever move. It's so far in the ground. It's such a big structure. You never need to worry about it. What's interesting about that is she says they designed it in such a way not to withstand this bridge, but more than this bridge. When she said that to me, I went, holy cow, because you're not designing it just to withstand just the amount on the bridge. You're designed to withstand more than it can handle. Now, listen, let me just say this. One of the things I hate is when people take scripture verses and they take them out of context and they just kind of make their own like cool posts on Facebook about them. I'm like, whoa, I'm not trying to be like, you know what I'm saying, like crazy here, but it's crazy to me thought patterns. For instance, one of the things I hear all the time is, and Benji's going to love this with me, people say, well, God's never going to give you more than you can handle. Can I just tell you guys something? That's not scriptural. Because all through scripture, God gives people way more than they can handle. But he's bigger than what you can. Does that make any sense? If we can't handle it, it makes us rely upon the Lord. And I understand what people are saying. They're saying, God will not give you more than you can handle because you have the Lord. I understand what it's trying to say, but God is trying to build up our foundation so we can handle more than we can ever imagine. Isn't that making sense? Isn't that cool? So part of today with moms is so important. One of the priorities of moms is to build up the foundations around the kids as much as you can, so when the traffic and the road and everything's on top, you can actually support what God wants to do through. Is this, moms, is this true? And you're trying to build that foundation up. And so I just want to say this. Before I go on my deep message, my parents built up strong bases and by being the base. And this is for dads and moms and everybody. My parents built strong bases, not by telling me what the bases are, but by being the bases. Okay, so here's where it stands. By the way, kids screaming, I love it. So just so you know, that means we have kids in our church. So it makes me excited. For instance, doing devotions and Bible reading. My parents never told me to, hey, go do your devotions, Bible reading. But my parents did it every morning, and I was seeing them do it. Does that make any sense? My parents didn't tell me, they showed me. Prayer, you know, saying prayer is the same thing. Prayer is a big foundation in all that. You know, my parents were involved that church, involved in the community. They were serving the community, serving in the local body, and it was bigger. They served things that was bigger than just us. For instance, I like to bring my kids along with me and just show them it's not just about us, it's about us. And so trying to make their world bigger and just saying, let's serve. This morning, I'm not kidding you, my kids wanted to stay home with me last night. They could have went to grandma and grandpa's. I said, do you want to stay home with dad? I got to get up early, go to church early and set up. Or do you want to go with grandma and grandpa? And they have been begging all week to go to grandma and grandpa's house. But today, last night, they said, we'll come early and help you. My kids were here at 6:45 this morning. And my heart is beating. I'm like, this is awesome. They're experiencing serving. They're experiencing doing stuff. And so it's cool. And I mean, and so that's kind of stuff. And I will say this, more is caught than taught. Let me say that. If you're taking notes, parents, make sure you do whatever you can, or anybody. Because people all say all the time, well, listen to what I tell you. You know what I'm saying? Listen to what you know what I'm saying? Dude, people are going to watch what you do more than do what you say all the time. And, okay, here's my soapbox. Here we go. If you don't like what you're getting from your kids or getting from your spouse, then do a check to what you're giving your kids and giving your spouse. Right? Because the truth about it is that in life, more is caught than taught. If I don't like what I'm with my kids, if I don't like some attitudes, listen, just yesterday there was an attitude. I asked her to come home, and I'm telling you, he said no. And I'm like, over. Then we took a lot of toys away. But we had some good conversations of why that's never good. And so I'm just telling you, I don't want that to be in nature. So today I'm just going to talk about laying foundations that support a mom. So number one is, I mean, we're going to talk about the life of David, which sounds really crazy. Why are we going to talk about David? Because it's Mother's Day. But I really think this is important because there's a three things in here for learning foundation. In the life of David, he was a shepherd boy. Before he became king, he was a shepherd boy, and he was the youngest of the brothers, and he was the youngest. And at one time, they came looking for him to be anointed, and they said, where's David? And they said, where's the youngest? And he's off, you know, with the sheep. He's attending the sheep. And no one, like, feel this. Like, he was the youngest. He wasn't part of it. He was all alone. And I think it's interesting. So 1 Samuel 16, 11 through 12 says this. It says, so he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? And this is literally the prophet coming to the dad and saying, I want to anoint the up-and-coming king among your boys. So the dad brings all the boys there, and he says, none of these boys are it. And he says, are these all your boys you have? And the dad says, they're still the youngest, the dad said. Jesse said, he is tending sheep. Samuel's a prophet, he said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent to him, and then brought in, and he was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him, for he is the one. Think about that. Even Jesse the dad, Samuel came looking to anoint a prophet, and even Jesse said, and Samuel came and said, where are your sons? I want to anoint somebody future king. And he goes, here's my sons. And they didn't even ask David to show up. They said, where's David? Oh, he's out doing what he does. He's tending sheep. You know what I'm saying? That's what he does. That's what we have him to do. He's the stable boy. He's out there. And then he says, anoint him. And surprisingly, he says, he's the one. We're going to anoint him, the future king. And all the brothers are in shock. The dad's in shock. What's crazy about this, nobody thinks of David because he's tending the sheep. He's feeling forgotten, left out. And I wonder how many times that we feel that way. So point number one is this, we need to find our voice. If you are a parent, when you teach your kids, find a voice. I'm going to tell you why in a second. Find a voice. Find a voice in your life. David is literally in alone tending sheep. Later on, David writes the Psalms and Scripture as worship to the Lord. Some of the best, even today, do you understand some of the most, a lot of the worship songs that we sing today come from Psalms and Scriptures that David wrote thousands of years ago. This is a guy who was the greatest worship leader of all time, the greatest worshiper of all time, who spent time with the Lord. And here's my question for you. How do you do it? Who taught him? Was it some Hillsong or United Live taught this guy who came and did this thing? Who taught? Dude, he spent time with the sheep and spent time with the Lord, and that was it. So who taught him? The Lord did. He just spent time with the Lord and says, you can just listen to it. And you just this is my guitar right here, guys, just so you guys know. This is it. And so he just, you know, playing his guitar and saying, Lord, I love you. You know, he's lifting his things up. And he's just saying, as the deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you. And he starts singing these songs to the Lord and making the scripture verse. And he, listen, here's what's cool about it. He learned his voice by hearing his voice. As a pastor, when I was a former youth pastor, I'm telling you, and as a parent, one of my greatest goals as a parent is to teach my kids how to hear the Lord's voice for themselves. Because if they can hear his voice, they begin to understand their own voice. Does that make sense? God has a song inside of all of us that comes out. What's cool about that is that he learned to trust God. It's not about who you are in public, but who you are in private. Your private self is becoming your true self. He learned privately. He learned to trust God when he was alone. So here's the deal. Let me go on another little soapbox here. This generation lives in the social media generation. And this is where this whole building burning comes into place, because I believe so much of this generation is trying to make a name without trying to have a voice. Like, how many followers can I have? And what about this? And you're trying to get connected with your name and trying to get out there. And you're using your voice, listen, to post stuff on Facebook or Instagram or something else. And question you got to ask yourself is this: is what I'm about to post burning a bridge or building a bridge? Because if you're about burning, I'm telling you, don't do that publicly. And I look at people on Facebook and they're posting stuff, and I'm like, dude, you just burnt not just your wife's bridge, but everybody's bridge who had any kind of respect for you. And I think about this, I'm thinking, we live in a culture where everybody wants their name to shine, and what God's trying to do is saying, I want the voice to be heard, your voice. And what's interesting about this, when you look at the life of John the Baptist, when he describes John the Baptist, says he was a voice out of the wilderness, crying out, prepare the way of the Lord, make the way straight. He wasn't an echo, he was a voice crying out, prepare the way. And I think in our own lives, in order to find the voice that God has given us, we need to find his voice. Next thing is this, kill the small things. I think it's interesting because David, after this, he's tending sheep, and all of a sudden his brothers go to battle, and everybody knows the story. And they're in the front lines. His brother's on the front lines because there's a standoff. Because all of a sudden, they said, send out your best guy. The other side, the enemy says, send out your best. We'll send out our best. You send out your best. And they sent out their best, which was Goliath. And you guys all know the story. Goliath is like, I don't know how many feet tall he was. And he just comes out. And everybody sees massive Goliath come out. And the front line on David's brother's side said, dude, no one's going to go with this guy. And so all of a sudden, here's what happens. What happens is Jesse sends David to the front lines to help out with the brothers, give him some food, whatever, be with them, sends him some stuff to the front lines. As he's here, here's what happened. It says, but David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping father's sheep. Whoa, 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 whoa. I missed something here. Oh, we got to read this anyway. I skipped ahead here. Here we go. 1 Samuel 17:30 says this, but David said to him, your servant has been keeping father's sheep. When a lion and a bear came and carried off the sheep of a flock, I went after it. Think about that. And he says, I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it churned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both a lion and a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the handless Philistine. Think about that. Here is a shepherd boy who spent his time protecting the sheep, and he says, he goes to the front lines, and he has courage, and everybody's looking at him going, you're a young whippersnapper. There's no way you can be Goliath. And he's like, dude, I am a shepherd boy, but I killed with my staff a lion and a bear. Anybody else in here kill a lion and a bear? Like, we use guns. Like, he is literally saying, I killed a lion and a bear. And he's like, this Goliath has nothing on that. Which he does. Goliath has a sword. He knows, you know what I'm saying? He's not just big. He knows how to fight. And what he's saying is this. He says, I done this before. I know. Because it's not how big I am. It's who's behind me. And he says, the Lord is behind me. So I'm just going to say this. Tackle the small things in your life. For instance, don't be overwhelmed by the Goliath. Tackle the small things first. For instance, if I'm going to tell you, you got to get out of debt, financial debt. Well, how do you get out of financial debt? When I meet with people and they talk about financial debt, I always say, pick your smallest battle first. Get out of the smallest debt first. If it's a credit card or something else, pick your smallest one and just work up from there. You know what I'm saying? Because then you have more to put on that big one. Just get rid of the small things first. Make space. And what's crazy about that is just keep on doing those things. I think about, it's interesting because I think about David. Before David could lead people, he had to lead stupid sheep. Think about that. Before he became, his training to become king was being a shepherd. I don't know how sheep are stupid animals. Think about this. He worshiped and he led sheep, but part of leading sheep was protecting. So he learned fighting skills from protecting the sheep. He was prepared to meet Goliath because his whole life he spent protecting what God has given him to protect. Do I hear that with the moms right now, right? It rises up because what is God has given you, God is saying when Goliath in your life come, you are able to do it because you already killed the bear and the lion. You've already started killing things and protecting your family and protecting your kids and protecting visions and protecting dreams that you said, come at me. I'm still here, right? It's not what he's saying. He says, I'm still here and my God is still behind me and there's still blessings coming. Dude, you want to come at me? Let's go. Because he knows it's not his power. As long as he stands with the Lord, that's what works. I remember a story as one of my pastors told me was this little girl got off the bus and she was walking home one day. As she was walking home, she heard a bunch of these footsteps coming at her. She looked back, and there was this dog. And the dog was just, woof, 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 chasing this little girl. And it's just little girl just starts screaming and screaming. She runs home, and she just sprints. She goes, Daddy, 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 Daddy. And as she just screaming at the top of her lungs, she turns a corner, runs down her driveway. Dog's chasing her. She's freaking out. The dad runs out of the house, and he says, what's wrong? He sees the dog. He swoops up the girl. Picks her up, and all of a sudden, the girl's just crying and crying and crying. He holds her. He says, it's going to be okay. The dog stops and looks at them. And all of a sudden, as she begins to stop crying, she looks at the dog, and she says, bad dog. And the truth about that story is, it doesn't matter how big the Goliath is, our Father is always bigger. Because it's not what we're holding. Question is, who's holding us? And I think what's interesting about that is that when we go through life and we wonder, when things start piling up and things get out of it, we start wondering. And I think it's you know what I'm saying? He learned to fight while tending sheep, and he took care. I just want to share this. He took care of what he had. Do you want what God has for you? Do you want the more? Then take care of what you got. He won smaller battles that prepared him for bigger battles. Win the small battles so you're ready for the big wars. God is not afraid of Goliath because, I mean, David's not afraid of Goliath because he knows God's behind him. Start the small things. And the last point is this. I just want to share a scripture verse, 1 Samuel, as we continue on. before David goes to Goliath, it continues on and says, Saul said to David, go, and the Lord will be with you. And then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over this tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. And he goes, I cannot go in these, he said. He said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in a pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with the sling in his hand, he approached the Philistines. Now think about this. You are a shepherd boy. Your brothers are there who usually make fun of you, probably. And all you come is with a slingshot, and you come wearing your leather little outfit, and you come holding your shepherd bag. And you're saying, hey, what do you have for, and he's saying, hey, I can do this. I killed a bear and a lion. I can do this because he's greater, right? I can do this. And the brother's like, there's no way. You're probably making fun of him, saying, yeah, put this on. You know what I'm saying? Like, can you imagine the big old, like, armor? I mean, it's not just like, hey, I'm going to give you a shirt. It's like literally metal armor. Like, this little boy is walking, this teenager is, like, walking around with a metal armor. I'm sure he's, like, and the sword is, like, probably, like, what? How much does a sword weigh, Ken? Like, 35, 40 pounds? Like, I don't know what it is. Yeah, so, like, 25 pounds. Like, that's not, I mean, think about that. That's, like, if you're a young kid, if you're a teenager, you're not going to be able to fight with this, and you're facing Goliath, due to sword battle, you're going to lose this thing. If you go into it using the methods that they want you to use, you will lose. So David's putting the stuff on, putting armor on, and all of a sudden he's carrying the stuff, and it feels heavy on him. Listen, I want you to catch this. It feels heavy on him. The sword feels heavy. This weight feels heavy. And he's walking around. They're probably making fun of him, saying, look at this little scrawny kid. He takes it off and says, he walks over, gets rid of the sword, gets rid of the armor, grabs 5 through the smalls, puts in this thing, grabs a slingshot, and goes, I'm going to do it the way God prepared me to do it. Now think about this. So you all know how it ends. He goes up and fee-fi full thumb, you know what I'm saying? Goliath comes out, and all of a sudden he takes this thing out, sling out, hits him right in the forehead, kills a guy, falls over, cuts off his head. Pretty awesome story, right? Here's the deal about it. The few questions I have for you this morning before we end is this. What's in your hands? What have you been given? When Moses led the people out of the Israelites out, it's interesting because God asked Moses, says, what do you have? Moses says, I can't do this. I can't lead the people out of slavery. I can't do this. I stutter. I have problems. I have issues. I murdered somebody. Like, I have issues. I've been running away. I've been hiding. He says, no, what? You're going to do this, and I'm going to use. What's your weapon? What do you got? And Moses, being a shepherd also, says, all I got is a staff. And the Lord goes, that's good enough for me. I'm like, are you kidding me? And what's interesting is the Lord asked Moses to throw it down. He says, throw it down. And it turned into a serpent, all that kind of stuff, and he grabbed by the tail and pulled it back up. What's interesting is I feel like that moment he surrendered what God put in his hand to the Lord. It's almost like he took, now moms and parents, listen here. He took what God has given them and he gave it back to the Lord. Now, why is this important? Because anything in just my hands, I try to control. Anything that's his hands, I surrender to the Lord. So here's what happens. He takes this staff and the Lord says, throw it down. He throws it down and gives it to the Lord. Before this happened, you never hear any stories about this stick. I'm not saying the stick is magical. I'm just saying because it's in somebody else's hands, it's a big deal. Before this, you don't hear anything besides it was a walking stick. After this story, you hear many accounts of what he used that stick for. Once he used it, when he parted the Red Sea, what did he do? He lifted up his staff and the sea parted. Okay, check this out. When he went before Pharaoh, what did he do? It turned into a serpent. When people were looking for water and complained there's no water in the desert, what did he do? He took his staff and he hit the rock and it split open and water came out. Now listen, it's not the object, it's whose hand the object is in him. Because before that situation, it was just Moses holding it. And after, it was in the Lord's hands. Now, here's how it makes sense. For instance, where's Mark? You're up here. A golf club in my hand? right? Well, I'll probably get you about 30 feet. I'm going to throw it. That's why. I don't even hit the ball. Like, I just throw the golf club. I just, like, launch it. Yeah, farther than the ball. True. See, this is true. Like, but a golf club and the ball in Mark's hand will go way farther. Now, check this out. A football in my hand, I can toss with my kid. It's one thing. But you put a football in someone like John Elway or Tom Brady or maybe Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know. You see what happens. Now, listen. You put a baseball in my hand, I can throw it to my kid. But you put a baseball, dude, in a pitcher's hand, it's a strikeout. You can win a game. What I'm saying is, something in my hand may not do something. But whoever's hands in it isn't a big deal. So my question for you is this. Is what has God given you to use for his glory that may not seem like a big deal? It may just be like, oh, I just have a slingshot. I just have this. I just have a stick. That's all I got. I don't have much. I'm telling you, I'll be honest with you guys, one of the things, I'm not trying to make fun of myself, but I'm telling you, I'm like one of the most least talented people you ever meet. I can't hold a tune. This is my tune right now. This is it. Like, I can't sing. Like, does that make sense? Like, when it comes to talents, I may not have a lot, but I'm gonna work at other things. Does that make sense? But I love people. I love people and I love doing different things. But here's what I'm telling you. Sometimes we think, well, I don't have a lot to give. You know, we all have this time. We all have energy. We all have our voice. We all have our words. But here's my question. As the worship team comes, you guys can come up here. I'm going to ask you guys a few questions. I want to challenge you with this morning. Number one is this. What are you called to carry? Now, so what's in your hands? So for most of you, say, kids, job, your health, your character, your husband, your spouse. Those are the things I'm called to carry. Finance, you know, all the things. So for me, what I'm called to carry is, I'm first, my relationship. Now listen to this. Eyes up here, I want you to catch this. What am I responsible for? That's what I'm called to carry. What I'm responsible for is what I'm called to carry. So the question is, am I doing what I'm good with, what I'm responsible for? So what am I called to carry? I'm called to carry my relationship. I am responsible for my relationship with the Lord. Nobody else is. You know, nobody else is responsible for that. I am responsible for my relationship with the Lord. No, I am responsible for loving my wife. She doesn't have 5 more other husbands that I know of, right? Like, it is my responsibility to make sure my wife is loved. That's my responsibility. My responsibility as a dad is to love my kids, make sure they hear God's voice, make sure they know, and to build that foundation. Does that make sense? I am responsible for that. I'm responsible for the church. I'm responsible for you. Someday, I'm telling you, when I get to heaven someday, I will look to God and he will say to me, either well done and good faithful servant with the church in Stillwater, saying, we could have had more. I am responsible. Listen, I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love the responsibility, but that's on me. Like, because everybody has something God has called you to do and to be, and that's what you're responsible for. That's on you, not on me. Here's what happens. Can I just smash this right now? I'm gonna smash a mindset right now. Be careful what you carry that you're not called to carry. Too many people go to the front lines and put on a suit of armor that seems too heavy, and you're carrying something in your life that you have never and God never intended for you to carry. Here's how I look at it. If I lift up my water bottle right now for 2 minutes, it's gonna be fine, right? Like if I ask my friend Tony to come down, I said, I want you to stand in the altar and I want you to lift up my water bottle, you know what I'm saying, until tonight, what's gonna happen? Yeah, he'll probably pass out. Like, he'll probably do it because, listen, this is not heavy. And sometimes we think, well, I can carry that. It's not that heavy. But the problem is, when you keep on carrying it for so long, it might have not seemed heavy, but now it becomes a burden. Like right now, my arm's already sore. Dude, listen to this. Here's what happens. It's hard to worship God when you're carrying something like this. So what God is saying is, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. What are you carrying that you're not called to carry? You try to carry another's burdens. Listen, you try to carry another's burdens. God wants you to have sympathy, but listen, it's not your burden to carry. Try to carry another's talent. You try to be like somebody else. When you try to be like somebody else, you're not carrying what God has given you. You're trying to carry another person's blessing. It's not your blessing to use. God has different blessings for you. You're trying to carry another person's life. If you try to carry someone else's life, you'll miss out on your own. Carry what God has called you to carry. It's interesting because I believe in our life and our social media culture, we look at posts and says, and I'm telling you, to all the moms and everybody in this room, here we go. Stop comparing. I'll go to this side first. Stop comparing. Stop comparing. Stop comparing and stop comparing. We hear about everybody else, and I'm telling you, look at their pictures. We see this amazing house. I'm like, dude, it took them 2 hours to get that house clean for one picture, just so you know. Dude, I was taking pictures of my kids the other day, and I'm like doing selfies. I took 25 to get the right one. Listen, don't judge somebody's highlight pictures in real based upon this. Look at this. And when you compare, here's what it does. Comparing kills compassion in your life. You think, I wish I had that, I should have had that, I wish I had this, I wish this. And you stop loving the people. Just stop loving. What has God given you to be responsible for? And listen, here's the truth. You can do it. Everybody stand up this morning. Here's the truth about it. I love this. Romans 8:31. This is on a screen. Two scripture verses. What then shall we say in response to these things? Is this, if God is for us, who can be against us? Isn't that David saying, listen, I killed a bear and a lion. And he says this, Romans 8:37 says, no, in all these things, we are now more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Don't let the Goliaths in your life dictate your future. When you're facing a mountain that seems like a mountain, don't let those, listen, you are more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. Have that courage as a parent to be that base, and you're not gonna sit there and worry and complain, and even though it comes up, you're just gonna pray. You're gonna be a praying parent. Because I'm telling you right now, there's a big difference between a worrying parent and a praying parent. Because worry and stress should lead us to prayer. We just lift up our kids and lift up and build that foundation and build that covering and build those things. Teach your kids to be the voice. Teach your kids and yourself to be you, to wear what God has given you, to wear your own armor, to do it the way God has created you to do it. Do it that way. And kill the small things. What would make your marriage better? What would make your relationship with your kids better? Is it being snappy, or is it being mean, or is it, you know what I'm saying, be more patient, more loving, more kind? Whatever it is, kill those small things. Kill the bear in the line. Just kill those small things in your life. Everybody bow your heads, close your eyes. you're here this morning, if it's your first time, I just want to say God loves you. Maybe you never accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, and here this morning you're saying, I want to live for him, and I want to surrender my heart to him. If that's you this morning, no one's looking around, I just want you to raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's awesome. I'm going to repeat it for me. Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. But I'm sorry for doing wrong. Come into my life. This is just the beginning. Help me to surrender to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to wrap up here. We're just going to go back into some worship this morning. I think this is just a good time. You know what I'm saying? If you're just in with worship this morning. Amen. We're no rush. Amen. I know mom's got to get out. There's gifts for you out there when you get out there and all that kind of stuff. But maybe you're here this morning, listen, maybe you're facing the Goliath in your life. It might be physical or financial or just whatever it is. If you want to come, I'll pray with you. If you want to come down the altar or in the back, I'll pray with you. But let's just worship this morning before we leave. Amen. Let's